Welcome to the Women of Marvel podcast, where we assemble to talk all things Marvel and more. This is host Judy Stevens bringing to you another great interview we've got. Plus, this weekend, May 15th to the 17th, is ACBC, Atlantic City Boardwalk Con. It's the first annual con, and Marvel will be there with tons of things happening. We've got panels, we have a booth, we've got signings, you name it, it's happening. Plus, the Women of Marvel will be there Saturday at 5 p.m. in room 302. Hosts will be myself, Sana, and Katie Kubert. We're super excited to be there. We've got some great announcements and art to show you, and we're hoping to record the panel so we can play it for you guys in next week's episode. The Marvel booth, number 1015, smack dab in the middle of the dealer's room, you guys can't miss it, will be having tons of things happening, including signings by Michael Rooker and Stan Lee, on top of all the creator signings we've got all 3 days. And we'll be having the Marvel Costume Contest on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Also, make sure you, when you stop by the booth, to not miss all the giveaways and merch we've got. And we've got even more panels. There's so much going on. I keep on saying the word and. Plus, Marvel Live will be there. We'll be broadcasting live on Saturday from 4 to 7 p.m. and Sunday from 12 to 3 p.m. We've got some great guests signed on top of all the amazing hijinks that always happens on Marvel Live. Hosts will be Lorraine Sink and Ryan Penagos. So make sure you guys tune in to Marvel.com this weekend. So I think that's all I needed to tell you. Summer has started. Con season is in full mode. We've got tons of things planned for you guys in the upcoming episodes. On top of, we are getting closer and closer to episode 50. But up next is Game of Thrones' Hannah Murray. We did a great interview with her a few weeks ago, so I'm happy to share it with you guys. If you guys are listening on iTunes, make sure you rate and review us. We totally appreciate it. Let us know what you think. Email us at womanof@marvel.com or tweet at us at Marvel, hashtag Woman of Marvel. We will see you guys later. Enjoy the interview. Welcome to the Woman of Marvel podcast, where we talk about all things Marvel and more. This is Judy Stevens, producer, and I'm bringing to you a special guest.
Hi, this is Hannah Murray.
We're really excited to have Hannah because obviously, Game of Thrones just kicked off. Well, your movie will be coming out soon in the States, and it debuted in the Tribeca Film Festival.
Yes.
Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
So it's a movie called Bridgend, and I don't know whether people know or not that there was in Bridgend County in Wales between 2007 and 2012, there was a very, very high suicide rate, particularly among teenagers, and our film isn't based on a true story to the extent that the events are set against the backdrop of that and explore, it's kind of an investigation of why that might have happened.
That's a pretty deep topic. I mean, a lot of your roles that you've done are very like deep and interesting topics. What sort of makes you want to play roles like that?
I feel very lucky to have gotten to explore some really interesting things, and I definitely feel like I'm not scared of going to darker places or more challenging places. That's kind of why I always wanted to do this job, was to push myself emotionally, intellectually, creatively. I was scared when I first heard about this project. I was slightly apprehensive because of the subject matter, just because it was based on real things that happen to real people, and I wanted to be very respectful of that. Once I talked to our director about how much research he'd done, I realized that it was going to be a very, very compassionate dealing of the subject matter. It wasn't exploitative or trying to shock for the sake of shocking. It was just a really honest, really brave story.
Part of the reason why we make dramas is because we're interested in people in conflict or people going through struggle. So that's why I think it's normal that a lot of the characters they've played tend to be going through difficult things, because that's what's interesting to watch.
Agreed. Yeah, certainly. I mean, you, as much as you would love to watch a comedy and sort of like escape, but at the same time, you're also sort of fascinated in how characters have real life situations.
Yeah.
How do you sort of prepare for a role like this?
This role was actually the first time I ever decided to see an acting coach. I always used to think that that was like cheating, but I was really scared about this one, and I felt like I had a real responsibility to really do a good job. And also, I knew that Jeppe, our director, had very high standards in terms of he wasn't going to let me get away with anything that looked fake for a second. And so I decided to, and I have trouble crying, for real. So I wanted to see a coach to just kind of deal with those anxieties. And then, but mainly I did a lot of research about Bridgend and the incidents of the suicides, because I felt like I had a real duty to know everything about that. And then I also kind of tried to do that research and then forget about it, because my character isn't going to be thinking about kind of facts and figures, and she wouldn't know everything that I was able to know. And then I just read the script a lot, because I just really wanted to make sure I knew inside and out who I thought this girl was and everything that happened to her. It was an amazing, you don't get many roles like this, you know, particularly for sort of a young female lead. I thought it was one of the most beautiful characters I'd ever encountered. She's so many different things, and she's so, so strong and so vulnerable at the same time. I felt really, really lucky to get to be here.
Well, that's always exciting to hear for women. Is in that sort of like the conversation, the topic that is within Hollywood and TV, movie, even in comics, is sure. Getting enough female lead roles that are dramatic and you know, not just written in so they can be written in. They're given good, substantial roles, and it's amazing that you're finding these little roles and making them your own.
Yeah, like I say, I think I've been very lucky. I mean, I think obviously what we ultimately want to get to is just a place where it's not a conversation anymore, that we're not having conversations about, I feel like maybe there are really good roles now, or you know, just that it's just not something we have to talk about, because there just are as many brilliant roles for women as men. You know, I do feel like there's been a kind of just a shift in terms of people seem to be talking about it more. People seem very keen for this. Yeah, there seems to be a real appetite for it, both from audiences and from people working in the industry as well. And obviously I want there to be really good female roles, because I want to play them. But I think that one of the things that really bothers me is when you read, you know, I read so many character descriptions where like the only thing they say about a female character is that she's beautiful. And I just think like that's not a personality trait.
Yeah.
That doesn't define a person. That's like just a physical thing. And I think it's a Danish Russian director. I think that sometimes if you look outside of the US and the UK, you can find maybe more interesting perceptions of women or portrayals of women.
Well, also certainly during, like, I think that in the States at least, a lot of our perception of why there's not enough women is because all we see is blockbusters, right? Mm-hmm. And those are amazing in their own way, but, you know, sometimes going and, like, looking at the list of, like, the film festivals, like, Blake and I are going to try and go to a couple premieres and stuff next week, mm-hmm. And we're, you know, I was, like, looking at the list, and I was like, all of these sound amazing. They're movies I want to see. You know, they're movies that are more interesting and have deeper topics, and to me, that's sort of super fascinating. I hope that our listeners at home are thinking, oh, I wonder what's up. Even if you're not in New York City and you can't go to Tribeca, you know, a lot of the stuff will be available online, or,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Your film will be available, like, later this year. You know, it's one of those things where taking a chance to look at a movie that may not necessarily be the, you know, number one blockbuster is definitely are good for women, because it gives you opportunities.
Yeah, I think I definitely found that, particularly when I was growing up, that I didn't feel like the sort of big mainstream blockbuster movies represented my experience as a teenager, as a girl, all the things that I was interested in. And I think that, yeah, starting to look outside of the box and looking at smaller films and independent films and things that were less well known was a great way to just kind of, I don't know, just discover a lot more variety.
As like an actor, how do you, obviously you're in, you're sort of filming Game of Thrones as throughout, and you sort of take yourself, put your oven like modern day, and then you go back in time, and then, you know, like, yeah. How do you take yourself in and out of these different worlds?
I don't know really. I mean, because it can be quite jarring. And I did a day on Game of Thrones in the middle of Bridgend, so I went from, you know, very, very low budget, modern day piece to fantasy, medieval, giant scale, like on this huge set that was a castle, and the two projects were kind of about as different from each other as they could be. I mean, you just do it. I don't have like a process of like, this is how I get into this time period. You just do it.
Well, I mean, I guess the costumes and like...
Yeah, well, that's what's amazing. I'm shooting a period drama at the moment set in 1940. Oh. And it is incredible. Like, I was thinking, how am I going to act like it's the 1940s? And then you realize that so much of the work is done for you, that as soon as you put those clothes on, as soon as you see the sets, it really, you just feel it.
Yeah, I'm a huge costume fan. I'm running the cosplay blog here at Marvel. So to me, like, historical costuming is like the most amazing thing. Mostly that's why I go to watch historical pieces, because I'm like, oh, the story's great, but look at their costumes; they're so amazing, and the hair. And okay, I'm gonna stop being like that. Right?
Yeah, I mean, on Game of Thrones, I've had one costume the whole time, which is basically three sacks laid on top of each other. So I get quite jealous of all the King's Landing girls get, you know, every week it's a different beautiful gown, and I've just had my sack for 4 years now.
Your sack. That's right. Maybe one day you will get something else.
Maybe.
You never
know. Dream.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have any advice for, you know, women who want to get started in the industry?
I wouldn't think that my advice should be different from my advice for a man. I think that... Hopefully everyone can kind of try and approach the industry in the same way. But yeah, I think it's important if you want to be an actor, and it's a lesson that it took me a long time to learn, and I'm probably still learning, is sort of separating rejection from your sense of self. So that, you know, if you don't get a particular part, I used to take it so personally. And it's taken me a while to realize, like, that's okay. Like, being a successful actor and being a good person are completely independent things, and just realizing that when you don't get a role, it's not usually, like, you know, everyone auditioning for something normally is like, if you're auditioning for stuff, it's because you're a good actor, because people think they might want to put you in stuff. And it's all about who's right for the role. And it's just, they're just trying to figure that out. They're not, it's not a value judgment on you that you don't get things. And I mean, my main advice, I just think, is that people should kind of watch as many films as possible, watch as many TV shows and plays, and figure out what you like and what's your own kind of unique take on things, because there are so many people that want to work in this industry, and there are so many really talented people, and I think the people that really last in this industry are people that can offer something that no one else can. And so I'm not necessarily interested so much now in good acting or bad acting. I'm just interested in unique acting. And I love when I see a performance that I just think, oh, no one else would have done it like that. No one else would have done it like that. And I think that's the most important thing, is like, as early on as possible, to kind of figure out, what can you offer that no one else can? How are you going to take a scene and make it your own?
It's great advice, actually. we always talk about, as an artist, I've always found rejection to be really hard, and you have to find that moment when rejection, because someone didn't pick you for a show or something, doesn't mean that you're not a good artist or not a good actor. It just means that right now, that's not your road you're going to go down.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to be around the corner.
Yeah, I think it's important to have a certain sense of things happen for a reason, and even though I don't necessarily believe that, it's useful to think that it might be true, and just kind of, yeah, you'll find your own path.
Okay, one last question for you. We always like to ask people, what do you geek out for? What is your thing that you love to collect or you enjoy?
So it was worse when I was younger, but it's still kind of there. I was crazily obsessed with Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Ah.
So it's still my thing. I still think it's one of the greatest TV shows
ever made, and particularly the first four seasons. Mm-hmm. I think it's like the most brilliant portrayal of adolescence ever, and I was so obsessed with that show. I made websites and I collected, and I used to record all the episodes off the TV every week, and I maintain that I learned how to act by watching Sarah Michelle Gellar, because I just wanted to be her so much, and I would memorize all the lines and I would imitate it. And I've since rewatched the series, and I was like, oh, that's all my, like, everything that I know how to do comes from, I think, just like obsessively watching her performance. I think she doesn't get nearly enough credit for her. She's one of the most talented, incredible.
I totally agree. I mean, we both obviously grew up around Buffy. Like, that TV show was such a, like, when you know, Buffy and Angel have sex for the first time, and just all those different things were so, like, matching to me, to my, like, my high school career. Mm-hmm. And I will always say the musical is, like, one of my favorite episodes, because, you know, they've brought her back from the dead, from heaven, and no one knows. And she plays this, like, pivotal sort of interesting thing where everyone sort of realizes that she's sort of dealing with.
Yeah. I think it's so incredible, like, the leaps that they managed to take on that show, the things that they did, like, they did a musical episode, they did an episode with no dialogue at all, when I watch it, I just think Joss Whedon's a genius. Like, it's so, the writing is so, so smart on that show.
Well, that's probably why we got him on board for our own stuff.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Can the listeners find you on Twitter or Facebook or?
No.
No? I'm You're like, on, no,
I'm
so?
Not, no, I'm not on any of those. No, I'm not on any social media at all.
That's actually pretty powerful, I will say.
Never have been. Never will be.
Stay off the internet, and your mind will be pure.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what. I know it would eat up my life. I know I just spend all my time obsessively poring over my friends' pictures of food if I had it. So it's better for me not to.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We're anticipating your new movie out. Game of Thrones is out right now. Anything else you want to promote?
No, I'm all right. That's okay.
Okay, great. We will check you guys later. This is Marvel, your universe.